Dr. Eileen Marty, professor at Florida International University and a member of the World Health Organization Advisory Group on Mass Gatherings, joins us now. And Dr. Marty, I have a ton of questions for you this morning. Are you all set? Ready?
Well, I guess I better speak fast. By the way, love Lake Geneva. I do miss going there.
Oh, really? You've been, huh?
Many times. That, you know, WHO headquarters are not far from there.
I get it. There's a story in the news today I want to get your comment on. The BioNTech chief predicting the need for updated COVID vaccines next year, saying the virus is very likely to mutate and evade immunity given by the current shots. He says that a new formulation is likely to be needed by the middle of next year to protect against the virus as it mutates. What do you think about all that?
I say let's wait and see. So far, in fact, last week was ID week, which is my favorite week of the year, where we went over all kinds of data on COVID, COVID vaccines, COVID diagnostics, yada, yada, the whole gamut. And what was really fascinating is that so far, comparing some of the new formulations that were, produced, like for example, Moderna produced a formulation that specifically targeted that beta variant, which was the variant that was, an immune escape type of variant from South Africa, and compared giving a third shot with that with giving a third shot of the original formulation. And the original formulation did just perfect. In fact, in some individuals did better than the new formulation. So I think we need to just be cautious and see what's going on and see if we truly need a new formulation based on new variants. I can't tell you that new variants won't form. In fact, I think they will, because transmission is still very, very high at a international level, world scale. But I think throughout the world, there is a great movement to get more and more people vaccinated. If we can get the underprivileged vaccinated in third world countries as well, low and middle income countries, we may not need to have a new formulation and a new version of a vaccine.
I've heard many people talking about this, saying, I wonder if I should wait to get the booster because they're going to reformulate it and it'll be more effective. And you're saying, yeah, not so fast, right? Not, maybe not.
The data doesn't show that, which is, I was quite surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what we try and do in the world of science and medicine is let's do the actual experiment, see what that shows us. And the actual data isn't showing that a new formulation is necessary. And also, it's showing that levels of antibodies that we produce in our own body when we get that booster really does bring us right back up to where we were before and helps prevent transmission, acquisition of even mild cases, and is really proving to be worthwhile. And that's why you may be hearing some of the FDA officials now saying that we really ought to go with the plan of allowing anybody 18-year-old or over to get a third shot.
Can you give us the Cliff's Notes explanation as to what monoclonal antibodies are and what we need to know about them? I'm still confused about that term.
Well, thank you for asking that. It's one of my favorite things. first of all, we have many, many kinds of monoclonal. So a clone, obviously, you know what a clone is, right?
It's yep.
Copies of a single thing. Well, when our cells reproduce, especially the immune cells, if a particular individual cell proves itself to have particularly good receptors against some nasty thing, it receives signals to clone itself so that you have more and more of those, right? And so we can, in the lab, make multiple clones of things that worked very well. In fact, you probably heard about the new AstraZeneca antibodies, right? Those are based on clones that two different individuals developed in their convalescent serum that were so good against the SARS-2 virus that they're just phenomenal. And so they've combined them and made a cocktail of these two cloned versions in a synthetic fashion. And by the way, Bob, we make monoclonals, antibodies, for tons of different diseases these days. So having monoclonal antibodies that target the receptor binding domain of the SARS-2 virus is only that way of making monoclonals to that particular thing.
All right.
We also have things called polyclonal, where we have a mix of different antibodies that our bodies make, and that's what happens in when you get a vaccine or you get a natural infection, is your body makes, it isn't just one cell that receives the signal to clone itself. Many cells do, right? So you have a polyclonal situation of many antibodies, some of which are really good at attacking the virus, and others which are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the monoclonals means we've targeted one particular clone and expanded that for a particular purpose.
At least I've learned
so
how
really,
to...
really, when
how
we to... talk about monoclonal antibodies, Bob, mm-hmm. for SARS, we really should be saying anti-SARS monoclonal antibodies, because we have anti-all kinds of other things, monoclonal antibodies that we use in medicine.
Well, of course, I knew that. Now I know. Now I know how to pronounce it anyway. So don't flunk me for mispronouncing it. Monoclonal antibodies. All right. Okay. And that was the Cliff's Notes version, huh? What do you know about this pill that was in the news to treat COVID?
So there's a couple of different pills in the news, but you're probably talking about the one from Merck, which, by the way, ID Week spent a lot of time talking about it as well. It is a nucleoside analog, so it works the same way as remdesivir, if you will, but it has the advantage of being stable when you swallow it and being able to do its job by taking it orally, which is much better than having to have an IV. And it has the same, in many ways, benefits and lack of benefit that remdesivir has. So basically what it does is it forces copy errors when the virus replicates itself to halt replication of the virus. The problem with nucleoside analogs for COVID-19 is that the coronaviruses, including SARS-2, have proofreading capability, unlike other RNA viruses. So HIV, for example, does not have any proofreading capability, so nucleoside analogs work brilliantly on HIV. Coronaviruses can proofread. So these drugs like the Merck drug and the remdesivir work, but not at the same potency, because the virus is fighting the nucleoside analog. So it's basically a misshapen nucleic acid, if you will, as far as the RNA of the virus is concerned. And its little proofreading capability says, nope, not keeping that, and it tries to fix it.
And how soon do you think that will be available?
It probably will be available fairly soon, because it's going to be something that can be given to somebody who's post-exposure, mm-hmm. and may be a substitute for getting monoclonal antibodies as a post-exposure thing. Or it may be given in combination.
Well, listen, the longtime director of the National Institutes of Health, Francis Collins, is retiring, and I nominate Dr. Eileen Marty to replace Francis Collins.
I've had many lunches with Francis Collins. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being and a brilliant scientist, and whoever takes his place is going to have very difficult shoes to fill.
Thanks for the lessons this morning, as always, Dr. Marty. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
You too.